When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
You can relax, that's the name of our podcast.
Hello, welcome to Relax the Podcast.
Hi.
I'm Colleen Ballinger.
Hi, Colleen Ballinger.
And this is my lovely husband and co-host, Eric Stockland. And this is Relax the Podcast, where we talk about pretty much whatever we want.
Sure.
And just chill out and have a relaxing time together. Away from
thank you so much
life and our crazy things that happen in life.
I like it.
Anyway, we always start out the episodes with who we think needs to relax or what we think needs to relax. Mm-hmm. But this week, I want to start off by reading some of the comments that we've been getting.
Oh.
Because we get so many lovely comments. And the reason I want to start off this week with the comments is because, love, I have to say, you were right.
Whoa.
I know.
What's happening?
This happens actually
a
lot with this podcast. And I know we took a little bit of a break with the podcast. So it's been a while since this has happened. But usually if you and I get in a disagreement of sorts, or I am unaware of something and don't understand something, it's usually the commenters let me know it's because you're right and I'm wrong. And there have been, there's maybe been one time where I was right, and that was the fruit salad situation. Even that's still up for debate, apparently, for some people. Anyway, what you are correct about is last week on the podcast, you mentioned that you got spare buttons in your clothes, and that was annoying.
Yeah.
And I was
not annoying. It was strange that I felt compelled to save them for no reason ever.
Yeah, because you were like, because you just knew that you would lose them at some point and whatever.
Right. Why the compulsion to save these buttons that I've never used once in my life, but they've always existed. Yes.
Right. So, pretty much I was like, what are you talking about? Those are the fanciest clothes in the world. Why are you getting extra buttons? Pretty much all of the comments were like, Colleen, you're an idiot. Buttons come with clothes.
Right.
Like everyone was like, Colleen, you are wrong.
In the pocket, in a little baggie attached to the tag. Like they're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
The tags within the clothes. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't even need to read them. If you guys want to go back and read the last episode comments, you'll see that.
That's validating, I guess.
Everyone was like, no, Colleen, that buttons come with clothes. And everyone was like, Eric's right. They all felt the same way as you. And so
I'm
sorry that I'm just, and someone even was like, how on earth could Colleen be complaining about tags and shirts and buttons and whatnot when she is wearing a knit sweater just against bare skin? Like they thought that was, it wasn't like, it was really soft. I don't wear uncomfortable clothes. I don't wear itchy clothes. I don't wear scratchy clothes. Like I can't function if something uncomfortable is on my skin.
What were you wearing?
It was like, I guess technically a knit sweater,
but you didn't have
whatever
it was.
It was
like an undershirt.
I'm sure I was wearing some sort of a tank top underneath it, but, it wasn't like a wool knit. It was like a very plush, soft, cozy knit. That's the only kind I'd wear. Anyway, the other top comment that we got last week, okay, this is from Cullinor, said, Eric says all of the sudden. Remember, we got a comment last week that was like, I love the way Eric says all of a sudden. And we were like, what are you guys talking about? How does he say it weird? How does he say it weird? So an unbelievable amount of comments being
is it
like
all of a sudden.
It's all of a sudden, not all of the sudden. And you say all of the sudden.
Give it to me in context.
What do you mean? That is the context.
Well, give me a sentence. Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, Flynn.
You just said the.
I said all of a.
You said the.
I really didn't because I think I do say all of the sudden.
Wait, so you're telling me grammatically. It's a sudden instead of the sudden?
Yes, and everyone is saying that we are
and
both
people
wrong.
Are mad about this? This is a
they're
sticking point?
They're not mad. They're not mad. They're just
they're
informing
mad. They're just,
us.
They're just like grammatically.
All of a sudden. is an idiom that is a more poetic way of saying suddenly. A common mistake to make, especially for English learners, is to write all of the sudden.
That makes sense to me. And then all of us a sudden.
All of the sudden seems like in my mind that it would make more sense, but it does. It's not. Is it doesn't make sense.
So it's so instead of the sudden, it's a sudden.
Yes. All of a sudden.
But you would say then suddenly. Yeah. You wouldn't say a suddenly.
Well, the and then are not the same words.
Do you understand? Do you my logic here? Are you tracking my logic?
No, I'm not. That's why
you would
I
say then suddenly.
Then
instead of a suddenly.
I wouldn't say then suddenly. I would just say suddenly. Mm. I wouldn't say then suddenly. That's like a double. And also, those don't really mean the same thing. Then is like later, right? Suddenly is immediately, like surprisingly, right?
I don't like it.
All of a sudden, but also all of
the sudden.
The sudden is not a thing.
Sounds like a hotel.
The sudden.
I know, but I'm saying the sudden.
It's a hotel in Vancouver.
A sudden.
I don't know, but we were saying it wrong. And people said I said it wrong.
Now I'm confused and I don't know which is right.
A is correct. And I did see a comment say that we both say it wrong. So I've been saying the sudden too. All of a sudden, all of the sudden. I don't know what I say, but I say it wrong apparently. Eric said all of the sudden, which is apparently from days of yore, bygone eras, old world verbiage. But this is only one of the many reasons we love him. Modern folks say all of a sudden. Andy Louise 8841 said, OMG, I love that someone brought up all of the sudden. I noticed a few years ago that you both say it that way, but so do a lot of other people. The correct way to say it is all of a sudden, but honestly, no big deal. You get the point across anyway.
I appreciate it, but I don't think in my DNA that I could change that.
I don't think it has to do with your DNA.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think it's correctable. I don't think for the rest of my life, like we can have this conversation and I can say that they are right and thank you, but I don't think for the rest of my life, I can consciously make that change.
You absolutely can. And that is
it's been
the
too long.
Craziest way of thinking I've ever, that is the most closed-minded way of life.
It's been,
someone corrects your wrongness. And you're like, well, there's no way I can ever change.
Well, I don't think that's going to stick.
That's crazy.
All of a sudden. I can try and be better.
There you
but
go.
I was just being in a moment of honesty. I don't think in the future.
No, what you can,
that's gonna,
I think a realistic way of saying that is like, I can try, I might mess up a few times, but I'll get it eventually after lots of practice.
Okay.
Opposed to like, I can't ever do that. It is physically impossible for me to say something the correct way.
It was easier for me, I think, to believe that.
Another comment from In Evander's Peck. I don't know. Hi, Colleen and Eric. This is a long one.
I'm sorry. In Evander's Peck?
I don't know. I'm sure I said it wrong.
That's a good name.
Anyway. Hey, Colleen and Eric. Two things I would like to mention. One, I'm pretty sure it's all of a sudden, but I'm not native, so don't take my word for it. I'm telling you, it was a lot of comments. Uh-huh. Number two. Okay. Remember when I randomly was like, oh, my ear's ringing in the last episode? Why does that happen? Why did my ear ring? Do you remember this?
No.
Okay. Well, that happened. They said that ring in your ear is one of the first signs of hearing damage. This you should take my word for. I have tinnitus,
tinnitus
is a ring in your ear that never goes away ever.
Are you unfamiliar with tinnitus?
I've never heard of it.
It's like a phobia of mine.
Oh my God. There's no treatment and it can only get worse.
Yeah.
For me, it started with a ring once in a while and then someday it never went away. I made it my life mission to prevent other people from getting this too and hand out earplugs to people around me whenever I'm at a loud place like concerts and festivals, etc. Maybe you could help me raise awareness and mention it in your next podcast. Anyway, I really enjoy the podcast. Thank you for making it again. Thank you for bringing that up. I did not know that was a thing.
You didn't know what tinnitus was?
No.
Yeah. It's strange to me as like
an
auditory, like vocal major person. Like you weren't, as like a performer, you weren't aware of like tinnitus. And
I
like,
knew about ear damage and I know like what can happen to your ears if, you know, certain things and whatever. I know about ear damage in general, but like, I didn't know that the random ringing I get in my ears is, do you not get that? You don't randomly rent.
I do. Yeah.
So is there must be
and
a
every
version
time
of
I do, I'm like, oh no, tinnitus. And I have a phobia of it.
I'm sure we could call your dad, but we won't right now. But like there must be like a safe version of it where it's like people just generically sometimes get that ringing in their ear. And then another version of it where it can turn into tinnitus. And I need to edumacate myself on this. that I know. And so that I can help this person raise awareness for it, because that sounds, I can't believe that person has to struggle with that.
It was like a plot point in this show called Archer. Have you ever heard of
a cartoon?
Yeah. A cartoon called Archer. That's great. I did an episode of Criminal Minds and I had a scene with Aisha Tyler, and she's one of the main voices on Archer. And while we were waiting for the camera setup, I was just like, tell me about Archer. But like one of the plot points is Archer having tinnitus. And I was like, it made me like think about it.
Oh my gosh, that sounds more so hard and awful. I'm so sorry you have
but
that.
But let's call my dad and see what he has to say about tinnitus.
Wait, are you being serious?
Yes. Dude.
Hey, Dad.
What's happening, man?
Not much. There was a podcast question for you.
Oh, sure.
About tinnitus.
Yeah.
And the fear of that and how that.
Well, can I ask something?
Please. Yeah.
So my ears were ringing in the last episode for a second. And I was like, oh no, my ears are ringing. And then someone commented that they have tinnitus, and that's like, you know, can be a sign of it starting or whatever. So I was just curious, is it possible for someone to just randomly get ringing in their ears? Is that normal? And then when does it become a concern that it could be tinnitus?
Well, I'm not sure that you've ever been exposed. I have, and I have had ringing ears after performances, but it's a sound pressure up around 110 SPL. I mean, you can get, if you want, take about 6 or 8 aspirins, make someone sure there's someone there to keep you awake, and your ears will ring. That's how you know you've taken too much aspirin. You'll get ringing. But tinnitus can be caused by a couple of things, one of which is like standing in front of large walls of amplifiers for hours at a time over a period of years. Another thing is you could have an ear infection that's causing the stapes and hammer to do some weird crap. The ringing effect is actually neural. It's a neurological effect. But like if you had a bad cold in your ear or something, you could probably get ringing and stuff like that from it. But tinnitus typically is due to traumatic injury. Acoustic injury, standing behind a jet engine without wearing a pair of headphones to protect your hearing.
But I will randomly, like maybe once every few weeks or something, my ears will start ringing just for, you know, for a few seconds, nothing crazy. Is that normal? Is that just something that happens to people, or is that something that's like weird?
I think that's pretty normal. Ask your physician the next time you talk to her. You know, I mean, I'll look it up for you. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. You've never been exposed to anything, and I'm not aware of any, without going into an explanation of how you're hearing the nerve, the tonal, it's called tonal topicity. That's how, in other words, there's a nerve in your ear that, depending on the frequency of whatever sound you're hearing, that portion of the nerve is energized. And when things can get confused neurally in there, then you will get ringing. But typically it has to do with confused signals because the mechanism itself is broken. And that isn't what you have. I don't know what you're talking about, frankly, but I'll look it up for you.
Wait, so that doesn't happen to you? Your ears never just like randomly ring a little bit?
Yeah, you could get, I probably have had that a few times. Have you ever had ringing ears, Nita? I know I've had it when I took too much aspirin.
No. Don't do that.
Nita's had it once in a while. No, I had a fever of 103.
Oh, no.
Many years ago. And I remember when I was at UConn and I took too many aspirin. And the doctor said, yeah, take it till your ears ring.
Good advice.
That's how I knew. He said, this guy was a Harvard trained guy. He's probably the best physician I ever had. But there was nothing else available. And I had to keep my fever down. I mean, it got really bad. So that's one way to get it to ring. And it's continuous. It's not intermittent or anything. Yeah, but neither. No, I don't think so.
That's a good point.
It's your concerts.
The SPL is not.
What's SPL stand for?
Sound pressure level.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah. And I mean, the audience probably has more volume than you. I think you had monitors down on the floor in front of you. I used to have mine either side of me because I was doing that crap before they had in-ear ones that you could control the volume of, so you could hear what was going on without having to, you know, be really loud.
So when you played, when you were a drummer, you didn't wear earplugs or in-ear monitors or anything?
Nothing. Nothing. In-ear monitors did not exist.
Oh.
So I stood in front of a wall of amplifiers, and actually I put the Leslie tone cabinet, the high frequency rotating cabinet for the Hammond organ, directly behind my head so I could hear what he was doing, because I couldn't really hear anything else. Frankly, all I could hear, it was very loud. Listen to me, your ringing could be caused by sinus, ear. I mean, there's a lot of things that can cause that. If you go to WebMD and put it in, you're going to get a raft of things. But I would just talk to your physician if you're concerned. Okay. I don't think you have anything to be concerned about. And don't put anything smaller than your elbow in your ear. That's what my mother used to tell me.
Good advice.
All right.
They do make tools that go in there, but anyway.
Yeah, but they don't feel as good as Q-tips do.
No, I know. Nita uses Q-tips, but Nita's also the one that has to dig the stuff out of my ear. Bobby pins. Yeah, you use a bobby pin, the blunt end of a bobby pin. Seriously, and you go right up against the eardrum. You got to be very careful because it's incredibly sensitive. Because my ears I used to have really bad problems with that. But I don't.
Well, you're
anymore.
Sticking wire bobby pins in your ears.
Well, no, I'm violating the rule that I just told you, but that's, I want to be able to hear stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
I hope that helped.
Thanks, Dad.
It did. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
How does that man know everything?
Well, like the acronym.
Everything.
The acronyms, I feel like. How many acronyms do you know, you think?
I know like slang.
Like, I know like ATM.
LOL.
Right. LOL. Like I know that. Like, whereas he's like describing like nerve endings in your ear.
Oh my God.
Like,
he's so smart. I have a million more questions for him, but, it's okay. We'll move on. I love your father. He is a freaking genius.
But it sounds like your earring is not. Not too concerning, but also like talk to your
But it doesn't mean
physician.
That I don't want to raise awareness like this person yes. had said. So like, I would say everyone just go do a little googly googs.
Protect, you know, wear sunscreen and protect your ears.
Wait, whoa. Wear sunscreen on your ears? Like how does sunscreen help your ears?
Well, I'm just saying like in general, you know what I mean?
Wear
like,
sunscreen,
yeah,
we're, you're saying.
Like wear sunscreen and like protect your ears
yeah.
and you know.
Okay.
Floss. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Do you floss?
Yeah.
I do too.
More so now, like when floss as a child used to just be on that like roll thing, like not so much. But now that they have those like little, what are they like?
It's like sticks, like the toothpick.
It's
floss
like a floss
stick.
Claw stick. Yeah. Like those I appreciate. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. So we got lots of comments about those couple of things, you know, but keep the comments coming. We really love them. Ask your questions for Eric's dad, if you have them, I guess, or for us, you can ask us questions, and leave your opinions and feelings and comments about the things we discuss. I love it. I loved getting totally schooled by everyone saying like, Colleen, no, but most clothes come with buttons. You
shocking that that doesn't
idiot.
Happen to you.
I feel like I can think of a few times I've gotten a button or a sequin or something in a little baggie with.
Didn't I last episode, like, pull down my pants and there was a booklet of tags
and
buttons.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so, but you know, let's talk about what needs to relax this week. Lovey, what needs to relax for you this week?
I'll go first. There's a story that I've been wanting to tell.
Let's hear it.
We were on a drive.
Okay.
And we drove past a Motel 6.
Oh yes.
And you said,
I wrote down the quote. Yes.
You said, I learned to swim in a Motel 6 swimming pool.
Yeah, I actually wrote it down. Write down what you just said, and I did. And I had said
the way you said it.
I said I learned to swim in a Motel 6 pool. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I said.
So, okay. And it's funny because this isn't the first time you've said. It's like every time we've ever been in a car together and driven past a Motel 6, you'll like gaze out the window in like a blank stare, almost, and be like, "I learned to swim in a Motel 6 swimming pool."
I've told you that before.
Yeah, it's happened like at least 10 times.
Hmm.
This particular time, it struck me as really funny because for some reason in my brain, the way you said it and the context of what you were saying, it turned in my brain into those. There was these books when I was in high school and then college where there were like trying to be an actor where mm-hmm. I was like auditioning for colleges and then in college having to do a lot of like, for some reason, they're like, you need to pick a contemporary monologue, right? Somehow this is an impossibly hard thing to find. Like you can go through plays and try and find a contemporary monologue. Like classical seems a lot easier.
It's just like people just pick Shakespeare,
but contemporary was like a really hard thing. And so like the theater bookstore, like in New York and at my school was littered, lousy with these contemporary monologue books that were so silly because they were, it was like people just wrote monologues for contemporary monologue
right.
books. That
I
they
remember weren't, these, yeah.
And they were, and they all started, and if you can imagine, and I don't know if this is like niche to people who don't understand like that kind of world, that kind of theater world, but like, just imagine like black box theater, like you're like, you know, kind of follow spotlight and you're just kind of talking to the audience mm-hmm. kind of monologue, which is a very strange thing as an actor because acting is listening and reacting. And, but in this case, like they're like, oh, you're an actor, like show us by talking straight to the audience, doing this kind of mm-hmm. monologue. And so the way you said, I learned to swim in a Motel 6 swimming pool. Like, I just like, I wanted to hear the rest of the monologue.
That means I did a great job delivering.
And I felt like, of course, because this is a theater student doing a contemporary monologue from a book called Contemporary Monologues for young male and female actors, there would be like an accent involved. Like it's like
what kind of accent?
Like she's from like Maynard, Texas. You know?
Oh, that's very specific.
Well, it's just a town I made up in, it's in Texas, mm-hmm. Near Amarillo. You know what I mean? So like right where those two freeways.
Is this for mix. Real? Or are you making this up?
I'm making this up, but like okay. this is what I thought would be really funny. And I think I said to you at the time would be like, I need you to finish that contemporary monologue as if you're like auditioning. And I'm not saying you're auditioning for Juilliard, but like, you're like, there's some sort of like,
no, just for this school play, like that's
school play or like regional theater or whatever, where they're like, we need you to come in and bring a classical and a contemporary monologue. And so you already did your soliloquy from Shakespeare.
You know me and my soliloquies.
Right. Just do it.
We went to Motel 6 because we didn't have a swimming pool. So we snuck into the Motel 6 because my mom had a friend who worked at the motel. And so she...
But if you're doing this in a Southern accent,
yeah,
like I've insisted,
mm-hmm.
go on.
Okay. I learned to swim in a Motel 6 pool.
Keep starting over.
We didn't have no money growing up, so we didn't have a pool like all those fancy people in town. I don't think I can do it, love. I don't know.
Is that how you learned to swim for real?
It really is how I learned to swim, yeah. I learned to swim in a Motel 6 pool, yeah. So I'm not a great swimmer.
No. I don't know that,
but
I've seen
do
you
a doggy
swim
paddle.
Much.
I could do a doggy paddle. I did take a swim class in college. I enrolled in a semester because you had to take some sort of physical education, you know?
They had swim class?
Like a swim class thing.
At your college?
Ask how many classes I went to.
How many?
Zero, because the class was at 6 a.m.
What?
So I enrolled and then I was like, I can do that. And then the first week happened at 6 a.m. and I was like, I'm not going to this. And then I dropped out of that class.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
My freshman year of college, I remember like these two guys came up to me like the first week and were like, hey, would you be interested in like crew? I guess like,
yeah, the rowing team.
Yeah. Like my height, whatever built at that point, like they were like, oh, like they just approached me to like try and recruit me for crew team. You know, and I'm like a young person into this school. I'm like, that's not like, they were nice. Like, I'm like, that sounds like kind of interesting and cool. Like, they're like, yeah, it's just, we meet every day at 5 a.m.
Right.
And I was like, guys, this is my freshman year of college. Like, I'm not going to be
not doing that.
Rowing boats with you at 5 a.m.
You know, someone asked me on my vlog recently how I was in PE classes, because they thought that would be an interesting story. And
you as an athlete?
Yeah, me as an athlete.
Uh-huh.
And I said in my vlog, I never really taken a PE class, because at the schools I went to, usually theater counted, like musical theater counted as a physical education.
Really?
I know.
But wait, you would have to take...
I've never...
No, but you can't... What are you talking... Wait, like high school?
High school.
There's like gym. You have to take gym.
I never took gym.
You can't just avoid gym being like, well, I'm in musical theater class. It doesn't exist.
Let me tell you, the only time I stepped foot in my high school gymnasium, I went all 4 years. The only time I stepped foot in there was to take the SATs. That's it. I've never been in the high school locker room, never stepped foot on the track.
You never had to wear like the penny, like the,
you know, they said that, they said, oh, the pennies. And I was like, what's a penny?
Oh, what it is. It's just the worst.
It's like a little knit jersey top, right? Now.
Oh yeah. I could just smell it. Yeah. You just put it on like essentially like over your clothes.
Yeah,
or like,
never did,
you
never, like,
you didn't have like a gym locker
never,
where you had gym clothes that smelled
nope
so bad.
Nope.
You didn't play like
mm-mm.
classical dodgeball or badminton or just have to like run and be outside? How did you get out of that?
Because my high school, I think it had just switched right when I went there, but like, I did anything goes .. in outer space. And it was a tap show and our tap rehearsals were grueling. Like they really were just madness.
So that was like your physical
and
education.
So I
credit?
Think like someone from, I don't know if that, I think it was a new thing. Like I'm pretty sure I remember that. Like they were like, oh yeah, they're in all these extra.
But that was going on at the same time. And so you just didn't have to go to gym and that counted as your.
What do you mean it happened at the same time?
Well, I don't know if like, they're like, and I mean, you're assigned like periods, right? You're like,
yeah,
oh, this
so
is your,
never had
you
a gym
get
period.
Your, you start school, you get your school schedule and then there would be like a phys ed gym one.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that.
You just wouldn't go?
No, I didn't. I never had it because I had theater and theater counted as
and they like knew
gym.
that counted.
Well, yeah, because it should. If you're in a dance show, that should count as physical education because you are dancing and sweating and exercising and stretching and all of that. If it's a dance show, but somehow I still got away with it for Les Mis and for Pirates of the
Penzance. I was going to say, you got away with it for 4 years. And obviously those productions weren't like year long.
Well,
did you ever have to do like the physical, like standardized tests that they would do where they would make everybody like run the mile and like do like a stretching thing. And then there would be like a pull up thing.
Not in high school, but I know in elementary school I had to do things like that. Like I remember running and I remember doing a crab walk and I remember being really embarrassed. I couldn't climb a rope. There was like one part of the obstacle course climbing. Where you had to climb
rope.
I don't know
if that's
a
standard. I know that just sounds like a field day. It doesn't sound like standardized.
Oh, well, whatever day it is, I didn't like
it. Did you ever have to run the mile at school?
I remember that, but I don't remember it being like part of school. I remember there being like jogathons, like things that like all the students had to go and like run and you like tried to get people to buy wrapping paper to support you or something.
That's different than them being like, everyone has to run a mile and we're going to time them.
I think I did do that. I feel like I've kind of blocked it from my memory a bit, but like that does sound familiar. Not in high school. I never did that in high school, but in element, and I was homeschooled for junior high, middle school, but elementary school, I do remember having to run a mile and walking and being mad about it and like having a really bad time.
I can totally picture you being that. Did you ever like, what do you have like girls' locker room experiences?
No. Mm-mm. The only locker rooms, only like girls, women's locker rooms I've ever been in have been at like spas. Do you want to hear my relax?
Oh yes, of course.
I can't get my, okay. Here's my relax.
Okay.
Oh, it's about you, lovey.
Shocking. In a nice way?
Well, it's just a question, an inquiry.
Okay.
What is it about baking sheets that makes you think or believe that they just never need to be washed after use?
Did you see my face change?
I did not. I'm scared to know what it did. Because you have this beautiful habit where you will cook dinner for our children as a sweet, loving, wonderful husband and father does. Or you'll make yourself like a calzone or a slice of salmon chunk or a quesadilla, what have you, just something on a baking sheet, bare, no foil needed, no parchment paper.
None of those things bare. Has ever happened. I've never made a calzone. When I make salmon, I put foil down. What was the third one?
Anyway,
a quesadilla. I'm not going to make a quesadilla in the oven.
You've warmed so burritos like in there. You've warmed burritos. That's what I meant. Burritos.
Sure.
Anyway, you put it in the oven, let cheese dribble, chicken guts, salmon bits, and then you just put it away.
Yeah.
Is there something about a baking sheet?
You
that
let
makes
me know when I can respond.
Is there something about a baking sheet that makes you think, you know what? Germs don't happen on baking sheets and leftover food on baking sheets is fine. It adds flavor to the next person who maybe wants to make cookies on this later tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, is that the thought process there? Or?
I think that baking sheets... Mm-hmm. And I'll give you some benefit of the doubt here, but I do, cause I'm trying to work with you here. I do think that baking sheets are like towels whereas like a towel, when you dry off, like you're drying essentially clean water off your body. So I feel like a towel can be reused a few times, like a shower towel, because what are you doing? You're drying clean water off of your self, right? So with a baking sheet, it's something that is going into a very hot oven. Everything's burned off. Like I feel like it's sanitary. Now, when they, I will say this.
Whoa. We got it. Sorry. I need to pause you. I need to pause you.
You can't pause
burn,
me.
Wait, what's burned off? You're saying it's sanitary to bake something on a baking sheet and then not clean it? So then why clean a frying pan?
No, I'm going to finish the thought. Like, okay. I'm just saying, like, if you're seeing things, if you see things on it, I will wash it.
That's not true, but it's okay.
No, I do. And the gall as someone who, to speak to me about washing dishes.
I wasn't talking about washing dishes.
Uh-huh.
I was just talking about.
Or pants.
No, it's just, no, not or pants. Anything. Just talking about baking sheets.
Uh-huh.
Just talking about baking sheets. And it's not about washing them. It's just about putting them back as if it is clean. That's the issue.
I'll definitely, there is like a drawer under our oven mm-hmm. where like baking sheets live.
Yes.
And I will certainly like when I leave it up to like best judgment. Like, yeah, this one can go again. Like, even though that's probably been used a few times. And if there's like some burnt crumbs on there, I'm like, well, they're like burnt crumbs and like, we're going to put a cookie sheet on it or foil over it. Anyways, it's fine. But I do wash them. Which I feel like is certainly better than your habit, which is just like I use them and then I leave them dirty on the stove.
Okay.
And you use them more than I do.
I do use baking sheets every night.
But I do think it's like a towel. It's like you can use them for it. I will say
I
that.
I think towels, I don't know that I use towels like the rest of the world then because I don't do that with towels.
You will never reuse a towel?
Maybe once.
Because even hotels, they're like. Hey, that towel is like good again, saves water.
Yeah,
like even the hotel industry.
Yeah, I get it. I think maybe
it's in their business interest.
I might do it once.
Uh-huh.
But I'll like hang it up and like use it one more time, but usually not more than that.
I think like a month.
But like bras? Nah.
Bras?
Man, I don't wash a bra.
Oh, I was like, I don't know. I was like, what do you mean? Are you drying yourself off with bras?
No, I'm saying like a bra, like maybe once every few weeks I'd wash a bra. And so jeans, I wear a few times before I wash them.
Okay.
Did you hear a door shut?
Yeah, it was the wind closing the door behind
my
you.
My gosh, I just got that. This house has ghosts in it for sure, man.
If it's windy outside and it closes the door.
Anyway, no, the reason I'm saying this is because I do bake cookies every night and I put down a piece of parchment paper.
Yes.
Or a reusable parchment sheet mm-hmm. and I bake the cookies on that. And
yes.
And it does not make a mess on it. It does not because it's literally like I bake like two cookies.
Well, the cookie sheet is out with the, when I get up the next morning with the parchment paper on it and pieces of cookies or whatever.
Sometimes that does happen.
Yeah.
That does happen sometimes. I agree.
It,
but
every day sometimes.
But no, but also there's a big difference between baking a couple cookies and like you've baked salmon.
Salmon's always on tinfoil and I will rinse
it.
And I do.
Off. This it does.
I'm a dishes dad. I do lots of dishes.
You do lots of dishes. I love you. Thank you for that.
This is challenging to me not to bicker in this conversation, but I will say this. I will, for the record, okay. I will submit to evidence that I also have a note in my phone from like 3 months ago mm-hmm. when we weren't doing the podcast, but I was like, I have to write this down for the podcast. There was a specific night where you were on something and you're like, we're cooking taquitos in our oven, just raw on the rack,
mm-hmm.
just taquitos on the rack.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it written in my phone. I go, are you just cooking taquitos raw on the rack? And you said, yes, bitch. And you called me like the forbidden word, smiled and walked away. And I laughed, I think for 20 minutes straight that you did that. And proceeded to write it in the notes app of my phone. And
that.
It left an impression with me because now every time I see taquitos, I think, yes, bitch, like they're raw on the rack.
Why raw on the rack is if that's so crazy?
Well, because like you're like mad at me about like my usage of pans and the reuse of a pan. And normally, yes, there is a parchment paper involved or a foil. Like, and if you do cook like a potatoes or a salmon, there might be some olive oil involved and then they can get messy and then they get washed.
By who?
By me.
That was the biggest lie.
It's not though. No, but I do. But I also like, I think like with a pan, like a wash is like a rinse. You know what I mean? They just need to be like.
I almost feel like I should go grab a baking sheet out of the kitchen right now and we can investigate.
Well, I will say this. For Christmas this year, I bought you two really
you
nice.
Did. They're beautiful. Baking sheets
was, you know, because like I'm taking accountability and I'm trying to be better about that. But I
so instead of washing them, you'll just buy new ones.
You use these pans every day. And if not, you just, it's just raw and you're like, and you call me the forbidden word. I'm sorry.
No, sorry necessary. I don't mind if they're dirty. I leave dirty dishes out a lot. It's just putting them back when they're dirty.
You use these pans every night because you generally make cookies for yourself every night, late at night, a couple cookies.
Correct.
So this is like in your world, this is a big issue. It's something you do every day.
Yeah.
And it's
what's a big issue? I'm confused.
And you're saying frequently when you go to get a cookie sheet or pan, it is, not to your standards.
Well, it's
not crumbed.
No, it's not crumbed. It's like pieces of like meat on it.
Not meat, but like maybe some like burnt
meat
for cheese
or dairy. Yeah,
Mexican
like there's
cheese.
there's cheese.
Dairy.
Is there cheese is not dairy?
Well, no, I mean in this circumstance,
I would say
dairy. Burnt cheese. I would say like Your Honor, there's some burnt cheese on the tray. I wouldn't be like dairy.
But
like
is cheese not dairy?
Well, yes. I mean, if we're putting it in a pyramid,
the point
that's where
is
we would classify
it's not a big deal. In fact, this is something that has happened all the many years that I've known you. It's just something that every time I pull out a sheet, I go, "Oh my gosh, why did you put this back? There's food on it." And then I move about my day.
When
I don't think much else about it.
When I and I will die. Will you look at cooking trays and be like, and if they're clean, be like, I wish
truly
there was a little bit of dairy
honestly,
in this.
Devastated. Yeah. Not even if you die, first of all, real dark.
Whoa.
Even if you like,
we
if you
do.
Were to go somewhere, like book a job that took you out of town for a week.
Oh, that's a better, like less
I would,
extreme example.
I would, yes, that would make me like cry if they were all clean and they weren't dirty.
Exactly. So, I mean,
doing me a favor.
Put that in perspective. It's like,
no, I know. I'm just teasing.
These are the things we love and tease about each other.
Well, sorry for all the bickering, guys.
And
but
bicker
I,
about, can't stop fighting.
I know. Just all we do is fight. I do have.
I'll try and be better about that.
You don't have to. I'll be better about putting away, washing the dishes.
That's
that,
what this
that are
podcast
sitting.
Is for, is this kind of open communication.
I didn't say it to make it be, there be, whoa, there's some alert just went off somewhere. I bet they couldn't even hear it. So it just sounds like I had a heart attack.
It's like you've never heard an email
but
that
was so
chime
loud.
Before.
It was just so, what was that on? Was that on a phone? Why is your phone so loud? That was very loud.
The fact that your fight or flight kicks in that extreme when you just hear an email noise is a bit concerning for like your survivability in the wild. Like
I saw this meme that
just
was like
an email is. Ah!
I saw this meme that was like, God only gives us the things that we can handle. So Lord, why is this so hard or something? Mm-hmm. And then God replies like, it's an email. Relax.
Right.
Like,
oh, that's funny.
And that is how I am sometimes.
Yeah.
I do have a fun game that represents how much we love each other. If you want to play, because Valentine's Day just happened and people think, you know, this whole first half of this episode, people are probably like, oh, they bicker so much because we kind of, you know, tensions were high talking about baking sheets.
Yeah.
And monologues.
We get tense when we talk about chores.
So I thought, let's remind everyone how much we love each other and play little games. That sound fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have this little game just to represent how much we love each other and show how good of a couple we are.
Let's do it.
And it's pretty easy. I saw a bunch of fun, cute little games around Valentine's Day for couples where it's just like a, you know, like those newlywed games. We've done them before on the show.
Yeah, sure.
On the show. On the podcast. And I don't know. You just like, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little question out of this tiny little kid snack bowl.
Okay.
And so I'll pull it out and let's say it says like, what's my favorite color? I'll write down what my favorite color is.
Okay.
And you say what my favorite color is and we see if what you say matches up with
purple.
What I wrote. Exactly. It was purple.
Thanks.
So there's lots of fun questions in there. So let me get a piece of paper and pen. I should have done this before we pushed record, but
You're fine.
I'm not very organized here with this.
There you go.
Very professional game.
That seemed pretty organized. You got up for 1 second, picked them up and there
I know,
they
that's
are.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to go first or do you want me
sure.
to go first? Okay. So you're going to be the one to write down an answer then in a second. So pick out a little thingy-ma-bob.
I pick out a thing.
Read it. And then you're going to write down your answer while I think about the answer.
Don't look.
I'm not looking. Well, look. I mean, you're about to read it, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, and you also wrote them. Okay.
Well, I didn't write them. I actually I just picked a bunch at random that I found online. What does it say? You have to read it.
What, before I write down my answer? Or do I write down my answer?
You read it, and then you write down your answer while I'm
thinking. What dog breed best embodies me?
Ooh, you know I love a question like this. Girl.
Yeah, it seems like you wrote this question because you love these kinds of
I did
questions.
Not write this question, but I do love this question. I have kind of two answers. I wonder what you're going to write, but I feel like I know what you would be. Can I say? I don't know if it's like
yes, please.
I don't know if this is an appropriate word. It sounds like kind of like a bad word or something, but like I would say like you're like a mutt. Is that the right word to use for?
A
mix, like a dog, a really cute like Jack Russell Terrier kind of mix,
bro,
mid-sized dog.
Uh huh.
That you get at like he made to say Terrier mix.
Are you kidding me?
Serious?
Are you kidding me?
No, my man. Oh, what? So
stupid. I literally wrote Terrier mix. I was like, I couldn't think of a lot of dog.
Wow. And you wrote it so small and cute.
What do you mean?
I thought we were using the whole page, but
you
I like that
to
better.
Write it across the whole page?
Yes, you can see it on camera, but you don't have to. I like your cute littleness.
It says
Terrier mix. Terrier that mix. Is pretty incredible. Okay, it's my turn.
You literally said the words Terrier and mix.
I know. I can't believe that. That's so cool. Okay. Next one.
Now I feel a lot of pressure.
Did you put it? No, you didn't put it back in. Okay, good.
I know.
I kind of do too, actually. I'm kind of like nervous about this. Look how much we love each other. Okay. Oh, what do I buy too much of? Mm. I don't know.
Well,
here's the problem with this game is it's like, I know it's like you, there's an element of like what is true and then what I think you would say.
Right.
And then what I think I would say.
Write it
down.
Do you
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because they're both going to be true. It's just different people's perspectives. Okay. What do I buy too much of?
Okay. You're writing something down. Write it down. You have to write it down before I start giving an answer.
But I'm thinking. Because then otherwise. I'm thinking because.
No, but that's not how you establish the game. And now it's going to seem like I'm cheating.
I'm trying to think what you would say I buy too much of.
I know, but I'm vamping to start talking about what I think so that you will write something down.
Okay.
You have your answer down?
I think so, but it's like not a good answer, but...
I think you buy too much of...
Wait, hold on. Let me finish. Okay. I think I got it. Okay. I had to like elaborate a little bit.
You over-order when you order food for yourself. Like you buy too much of like food. You never finish... Whenever you've ordered like food, you always get like two things and you never finish either of them. You just like kind of take bites of things.
Yeah, and then other people have to finish the leftovers.
You order too much food for yourself because you'll order two different like meals and then just take bites of them. You also order way too much things from Amazon. You know what I mean?
Wait, like, okay, but it's specific.
I'm being specific. You order also like order too much like cookie dough. Like you never use all the cookie dough
that you order.
And you order too many like razors. Like there's like,
what?
I feel like there's just so many like how much hair,
razors?
How much hair do you got where?
Wait, because razors?
They're just like, our house is just lousy.
Well, razors go dull and you have to buy a new razor to like replace the razor blade.
But every shower is filled with like a dozen razors.
Yeah, because they
go dull. But why keep them? Why do you keep them?
Shower when I do. I know I need to throw those away. But
too many Amazon boxes and like you're not going to eat all that food is my answer.
Okay. Well, we did not line
right?
up. I put clothes that I'll never wear.
Yeah, you do that.
Because that's what you've commented on. I feel like there have been times where I've ordered clothes and you go, oh, you got more clothes. You'll probably never wear those. And I have to get them. I have to return them and whatever.
You don't return. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Sure.
But like clothes for the kids or clothes for me. And then I always just end up wearing leggings with the same jeans and like a sweater, you know?
Yep.
So that's what I thought you would say, but dang it, we got that one wrong. Okay. Well, we'll do better next round. But I think the problem is be totally honest. I don't buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're frugal.
Like that's the thing is like we had to pick like Amazon stuff. Cause like, what else do I buy? Like nothing.
Pretty general. And other than that, it was like food and
right. Like, I feel like I
would. Toiletries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. No, pick out another one.
Oh, I pick out. Okay.
Yeah. You pick out. This is kind of fun for me. I can't believe that first one we got right. Man, we started off so strong. We were like the lion. Started off strong and then bombed the second half.
What is my biggest irrational fear?
I feel like I'm the one with
the
irrational
fears. I feel
like
if you listen to this podcast, like it would be easy.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean?
If you listen to this podcast, it would be easy.
Yeah. I think I wrote an entire.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that, but like.
Back when I did that.
I know, but.
I have more I want to do.
I do feel like I'm the one with the irrational fears. My irrational fears are really intense. Your irrational fears are. I mean, one is like you're going to get hit in the throat with a hockey stick or something.
Throat. I have throat fears. I have like. Yeah. Like phobias of something hitting me in the throat. Yes.
Yeah. But also you think. That your other irrational fear, I would say, is that you think you will die if you don't
fall asleep. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one these days.
It's a big one these days.
Is that like, I'm going to not sleep myself to death.
Yes.
I'll
awake yourself to death.
I will not be able to fall asleep because I am anxious about not being able to fall asleep. And then I will think that not sleeping will somehow kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a bit irrational. Yeah. What are yours? I mean, that
there's too many to list. I mean, the first thing that pops to mind is I'm afraid that if I'm walking down a street, like this came about more so when I lived in New York City, for no reason, by the way, this is for no reason. I've probably talked about this online before, but, if someone is smoking a cigarette, if they walk past I'm afraid they're going to put the cigarette out on my arm and like burn me.
Did that happen before?
Never. Nothing even slightly like that has ever happened to me. But if I see someone with a cigarette, I will like try to get away. I'm like, and try to like go around them. Cause I think they're going to,
they're like, I got to put the cigarette out and they're going to put it out on you.
That's what my brain thinks. I'm also very, I have a big phobia of stickers, little fruit stickers.
Oh yeah. You know, you have a lot of things about things.
Yeah, I have a lot of things about a lot of things.
I wouldn't call them.
I have some friends who make fun of me because I always go, I have this thing with, and then just put in any word.
Any word. Yeah.
And you have a thing about them. Yeah. We'll just do maybe one or two more.
Sure.
Okay. Here we go. This one says, oh, it's kind of boring, honestly.
What does it say? Good. You made these.
I know. What superpower would I want? I don't know. Oh, stupid. I don't care about superpowers.
Well, write something down.
I know. What superpower would I want?
Oh, you don't know.
I don't want any of them. They all sound terrible to me. I don't think. Oh, I guess there's one that I kind of like. But
you don't seem like an invisible person to me.
I'm not giving away anything.
It didn't sound to me like you wrote fly. Unless you wrote flying. Like you could have wrote flying.
Well, you're not supposed to do what you think you hear from my sounds of my
super
pen.
Super strength. That you could predict the future, maybe. Read minds. I'm going to say read minds. No, it didn't sound like you wrote read minds. Flying. You wrote flying. What'd you write?
I did write flying. And here's the deal. I don't even really want to do that. I don't want any of all the superpowers sound terrible to me. Reading someone's mind. I do not want to know what you're thinking. I don't. Because what if it proves all of my thoughts true of like that person hates me. They think I'm annoying. They think I'm the worst. Like I don't want these things.
Yeah.
For sure. And also I have enough thoughts in my head. I don't need to hear other people's thoughts.
Right.
Wasn't it super fast strength? Meh. I don't need that. I don't need to go run super fast.
Do you
fast,
have
be
a
super
favorite
strong
superhero?
I don't
or
know
did you
any
as a
of
child?
Them. The only ones I know are Spider-Man and Batman.
Uh-huh.
And Superman is one, I think. Those are the only ones I know.
Can you tell me the origin story of any of those people?
Batman. There's something about bats.
More specifically, how did he become Batman?
I don't remember. I saw the one with Jim Carrey and I think it was like, was that Harrison Ford? Who was the Batman on that? Mel Gibson? I'm just saying
I think it was
older
George
actors'
Clooney.
Men's names.
I think it was George Clooney.
Was that him?
I think it was the Batman when it was Jim Carrey was the...
Or Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer was...
Anyway, one of them. Uh-huh. I just remember like, it was like a flashback to his childhood and he was like in a well or in a cave or something and there were like bats.
Sure.
That's all I can remember.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, didn't he just get bit by a spider?
A radioactive spider, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Superman?
He just flies.
Where did he come from?
Kryptonite is something he likes.
The planet.
I didn't know he came from another planet.
He did.
I don't know that I care too much.
The planet Krypton?
But there's not a superpower I would want, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Flying sounds kind of fun, kind of, but it also sounds a little dangerous.
Yeah.
What if a bird hits me? What if a plane runs into me? A drone? I don't know. There's
the
lots.
Flash.
And then also you're like in there, you're exposed. Everyone can see you.
Right.
Like I don't want everyone to be looking at me flying around, making a spectacle of myself. There's not really a superpower
invisible,
I want.
Invisible, no.
No, I don't want to be invisible because again, like then what if you happen to be around someone and they like are saying something or doing something? They want their privacy. I don't know. I don't want to be like...
There's a lot of insecurity based upon your yeah. want or not want to be. What does the Flash do as a superhero?
That sounds like he's fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was
Wolverine.
A superhero. He has claws that come out of his knuckles.
You know a lot about superheroes.
Yeah, I know.
Love.
Okay.
Which Avenger would you be?
I don't know what that means. Let's go to the next. You one more and then we're done. Okay. You get to pick one. So go ahead and pick one. What would you want? Flying?
I think.
Invisible. I feel like you'd want to be invisible.
Invisible would be pretty cool. Flying would be great. I don't know. Like, what about being like just invincible?
Oh, I wouldn't want that. And then you outlive everyone you love and you're just. Doesn't sound very good. What's this one say? Oh, you didn't like it.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. It's just like, what is something that I always forget to do?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wash the baking sheets.
Right. Yeah. Let me do another one. this is going to get, what's the most embarrassing thing I wear?
Oh, come on. I was hoping I would get that one because you don't wear anything embarrassing. Like I was so excited to see what you'd say about me and like totally trash on all my clothes.
I'm not gonna say that hat.
I know everyone hates this hat. My hair looks terrible.
I think you look cute in that hat. That was
no, you don't. And no one likes it. I know you and everyone else.
No, I.
People comment like, I hate that she wears that hat.
I feel like you've mentioned to me how much like the public discourse about that hat, but I actually like that hat.
You know why I like it? I don't like that it looks a certain way. I like those kind of hats that you're wearing, baseball caps. Is that what they're called?
Sure.
They're like too tight on me. And if they're too loose, they look stupid. They have to be a certain tightness.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. This is like kind of loose on my head. And yeah, I get it.
No, I love hats. I wish like hats were more of a thing like they were in like the 40s and 50s. I wish like hats were a thing because I don't like hairstyling.
There's no clothes that you wear that I'm like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Like I like your clothes.
Well, what was my first job?
Okay. I think I know the answer. I hope I know the answer to this. Otherwise, it'd be so awkward. If you just know everything about me and I know nothing about you. But I'm pretty sure I know what this one is. So tell me when I can say.
You can say.
Is it Wetzel's Pretzels?
Wetzel's Pretzels.
That sounds so good right now.
In the Milford Mall.
Yes.
The Milford, I don't think it was a Westfield at that point. I think it's a Westfield now and probably.
Abandoned.
Half abandoned. But like right as I turned 16. I think I got the job before I turned 16 so I could start right as I turned 16, which is like when you were allowed to work.
That's so cool. You know,
making those pretzels in the mall, it was right outside the entrance to a JCPenney.
Nice.
Or a Filene's.
What? I've never heard of a Filene's.
You don't know Filene's or her basement?
Basement?
Yeah, she got a basement, Filene.
I don't know what that means.
Filene's was like a
Filene. Is that the commercial?
Yeah, it was a department store in the vein of JCPenney or like Macy's or something. And she also had a basement apparently where she would put things on sale.
Well, that sounds great.
But yeah, it was right there. So it wasn't like a good, it wasn't like a, you're in the middle, right on like the railing, like you're not in like the middle of the mall, like, and there's like the little stand up Wetzel's Pretzels. No, it was like a, it was like a hole in the wall as you're walking out of one of the big department stores. Wetzel's Pretzels. But it was super fun. You take the, you like roll out the dough, you dip it in this like water thing, and then there's like a certain flip. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I was on the forefront of the pretzel dog. Like no one had done it in years prior or like ever.
Wait, what are you talking about? They just didn't serve like, them?
I'm thinking about like when the pretzel dog was invented, I think I was like, they were like, hey, corporate says we're going to, you know how you like take this dough and you make pretzels out of it. What if you took this dough?
I'm sorry, this
is so boring to you that you like, yawned.
Corporate lies.
Corporate was like, you're going
to
take this dough.
Corporate came to you and corporate of Wetzel's Pretzels came to you at the Milford Mall. And it was like, this, you're about to change history.
You're about to change history. You're going to take this dough. You're going to wrap it around a hot dog, kind of like a, you know, like this. And then you bake the pretzel with around the hot dog. And we're going to put it in these like heat trays. And people are going to lose their minds.
This happened to you while you worked there.
Yes. I was a moment in history that I was like on the forefront of. And I don't know. We talk about it a lot.
Okay. Well, congratulations on being the person who invented the Wetzel's.
I'm not saying I invented it. I'm just saying when that technology came out.
You were working there?
Yeah. It's kind of like I'm like the Steve Jobs of like pretzel dogs.
I feel like I'm going to do the math on this. When did you work at Wetzel's Pretzels? You were 16?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look into...
Well, this is like...
When the hot dogs... Late 90s? When the hot dog became a part of the Wetzel's Pretzels brand. See if it lines up with your story here.
Yeah, like 1996? No, that's not right. It's 96? Not right at all.
I don't know. I don't know math.
1998, let's say.
Okay.
Yeah, like 1998.
You were 99. 16 in 1998.
I don't know. Somewhere, give or take a year, sure.
Okay. I don't think that's true.
I graduated Whatever, it doesn't high matter.
School. Okay. So, anyway, we're going to look into the accuracy of Eric being the creator of the Wetzel pretzel dog. But thanks for listening, everyone.
And if anyone has control of like Wikipedia pages, you could put that for me.
Oh my God. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching. If you watched, make sure to leave a comment for next week and we'll see you next time. Relax. The relax. No, the relax. Just relax. Eric was calling it the relax earlier today.
The relax podcast.
Okay. Bye. You can relax. That's the name of our podcast.